Center for Inclusive Childcare welcomes you to Inclusion Matters. We share resources and information to support quality childcare for all children. By partnering with early childhood professionals, parents, grandparents, and other caregivers, we work together to help every young child thrive. Welcome to Inclusion Matters, a podcast from the Center for Inclusive Childcare. I'm Priscilla Weigel, the Executive Director, and we're so glad today to have an opportunity to talk to two of our team, a couple of my dear colleagues, and we are going to have a great conversation that is related to our work at CICC and also infants and toddlers. So I'm joined today by our leads, who actually are our supervisors for our coaches. They are former coaches themselves, and I'm here with Brenda Lowe. Welcome, Brenda.
Hello, everyone.
And I'm here with JC Nylander. Welcome, JC.
Thanks, Priscilla. Hi, everybody.
So it's so great to have you here because we were chatting at the office the other day and thinking about what we really want to share out about some of the things that sometimes get forgotten when we think about coaching support and also about the care and the quality of care for infants and toddlers, which we know, and we say this all the time at CICC, if you have quality care and a quality program for infants and toddlers, you're going to have superstar 4 and 5 year olds because you're giving them that foundation that is so important. And so I'm grateful to the two of you today to really help us be reminded of what are some of those pieces, what's essential to think through when you are an early childhood educator caring for infants and toddlers. So we're just going to jump in and let you kind of take the lead on this. And so when you sat down and thought about this, what did you come up with as some of the key things that bubbled up?
Sure. Yeah. So Brenda and I put our heads together. I feel like we could talk about infants and toddlers for many hours.
Yes.
We could do a lot of podcasts.
Yes.
And we tried to narrow down to 5 key components that we feel capture quality care for infants and toddlers. So today we're going to talk about in part one here, safety, relationship or attachment, and then routine and environment. And then in part two, we're going to talk about individualization. So meaning the needs of each child as an individual. And communication, which, as you can see, these are all they're big.
Yeah.
They're all important.
Right. Definitely. Yeah. And also, too, I think the something that is interesting to note as our listeners, many of them have received coaching from us in the past. Many of them have not. But these types of conversations that Brenda and JC are going to be having with all of you and me today really are similar to some of those pieces that our coaches would be chatting with educators about when they're out in the field and someone calls and says, I'm really struggling with what's happening in this classroom or this, you know, or my care space as a family child care provider. What am I missing? And so this, what you're sharing here are some of those really, as you said, big things, but also very foundational to quality. Mm-hmm. So let's jump in with safety.
Yeah. Yeah. So we put safety as the very first one. I think that's what we all think of when we think of that foundational need. Are all those basic needs being met for our infant and toddlers? Is it safe for them to explore within their classroom? That is just key for those infants just learning to crawl, or maybe they're sitting and they're, you know, a little wobbly still. So is it safe for them to fall over?
True.
Yeah. And of course, toddlers, as they start exploring more and walking, is the room set up to meet their needs? Are there toys that are available within their reach? Another thing we think of with safety when it comes to the environment is, what are we doing on a daily basis to make sure that the room is staying safe? Because there's traffic coming in and out of classrooms all throughout the day, different people. So what's our daily cleaning schedule? Are we following licensing? Are we following our program's protocol for sickness and illness? Just that basic need of keeping those kids safe within our care is going to help.
So true, JC. And when I think about the family childcare setting as well, thinking about needing to do that process possibly more times than even in a center-based care setting, because you have multi-aged care going on in a family childcare home, you have possible family members walking through, et cetera. So that having that safety piece on the radar is really important.
Yeah, I think that's come up a lot with our coaches working with family childcare. You mentioned the families. I mean, their home is their business, and it's also where they live with their family. So their teenagers are getting ready in the bathroom in the morning. And what can we help them as through coaching implement to make sure that the environment is safe every morning after those teenagers head out the door or the family leaves for the day?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a big one.
Yeah, pets and too. You made me think of pets.
Right, definitely. Thank you, Brenda. I'm so glad you brought that out because there are things that, I mean, introducing a pet into a setting is just truly introducing almost like another person, because with dogs and cats, they have their litter boxes, they have their you know, toys, they have the leash, the tags, the all of those things that can especially for our youngest children, infants and toddlers who are still mouthing a lot of things and still picking stuff up the floor. And some kids are really oral, and that's how they figure out what they found. And we don't want to put something in their mouth that's going to cause them great harm. Yeah.
Right. Yes. Yeah. So that safety of the environment, that physical safety is foundational. And so another part, when Brenda and I were thinking about safety, we thought of feeling emotionally safe. That leads into our number two component. And Brenda's going to talk a little bit about that, is forming relationships and attachment. So there is that sense of emotional safety with the infant and toddler, so they do feel free to explore their environment.
Right. All right. Great. Let's dig in.
Go ahead, Brenda.
So when I think about relationships and attachment, one of the first thing I think about is connection. So building that relationship, it is so, so, so foundational. And I know that while we're coaching, I think a lot of people will hear us say it a lot, like, we got to build a relationship. How is the relationship? Are you working on the relationship? How's the relationship? And so it sounds very cliche, but the thing is without that, nothing else is going to fall into place. We know that strong relationships come from consistent, responsive engagement with the child, with the family, with our coworkers, with the leadership at our programs, if I'm at a center. So it's that connection, it's that communication, it's keeping that open dialogue. And the quality of early attachment with the child influences the behavior, the emotions, and the learning that's going to be happening in the classroom.
That's so important. I'm glad you brought that up, because truly, it's not just the connection and that responsive caregiving piece that is so important. And it also provides that ability with trust, so the child, as JC mentioned, can go around and explore. But it influences, so it's like a ripple effect. It's like a ripple effect.
That child's going to be better able to cope with challenges that they will face. That's part of development.
Yeah.
When they feel secure and safe with the adults that are with them.
Definitely. Exactly. Yeah. Well, part of that too is building trust. So trust grows. It's not an automatic thing, right? We just assume that it is, but it grows, and it grows when caregivers listen, when they're responding. They're responding to the child's cues. What is their body saying? And when we're talking about infants and toddlers, we're talking about the littles. They don't know how to express that. And so we, as the adult, the caregiver, are having to pick up on those cues, understanding body language, understanding those emotional states. And it helps us then know how to respond effectively. We know that children feel safe when they know that the caregiver genuinely, authentically cares. And isn't it funny how kids pick up on that so quickly?
Yeah, really. That's very true. Yeah. We sometimes joke too, when we talk about, you know, as entering a program as a coach, children are very intuitive, and sometimes it can be concerning to us if we didn't know what we know, but they'll just come up to you as the coach and feel this immediate connection. And I do believe it is that sense of calm and caring that we're bringing into that setting as well. Like you're someone that I can trust. And we send that out through just the way we enter a room. And I think caregivers do that every day with the young children they care for. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
Something Brenda and I were talking about before we met too is a lot of us in this field do have that very natural, like you said, Priscilla, that happens a lot in coaching where we walk in and kids are just kind of drawn to us. And also recognizing that sometimes it feels harder. Sometimes there are children that you don't just naturally connect with, and you do have to be intentional about building that. And that comes up a lot in coaching, and that's okay. We're all human. We're all different. And we just have to figure out, how can I better connect with this toddler who has a lot of energy and I'm more laid back?
Right. Yeah. So true. I think about too, we talked about relationships, but attachment. And when I go into programs and I hear attachment, a lot of programs think of it as like an issue. So then leading into separation anxiety, but attachment is good. It's a good thing for an infant and toddler. Attachment shows that the attachment of the relationship is forming, or it's actually present. And so when the child is saying, this is my person, where is my person? My person was just here. I need them. So so separation anxiety is actually developmentally appropriate. It's a very normal part of development. We see it in the infant room. We see it in the toddler room. And depending on circumstances, we might even see it in the preschool room. In fact, it happens more often than not, depending on what's going on in the child's world. Just keeping that in mind, that is that child just needing their person. And so we, with building the relationship and the connection with the child, can figure out, what does that child need then to feel safe, to feel loved, and to feel wanted? And that today is going to be a great day. Let's move forward.
And as we're talking here, Brenda, what comes to mind too, and I'm kind of bringing it back to the family childcare setting and thinking, you're the sole adult in that situation. And sometimes you have to, and we know we get this call a lot. A new infant in the setting, or, an infant who's been there a while, but is actually going through a new next stage of development. And they're just really wanting to be with that provider right on their hip all day long, which is really hard when you're the only person in that setting. So, thinking about those challenges too, that's another thing that we can do with our coaching support, is to help build a plan. And, as you said, Brenda, attachment, that healthy attachment connection is so important and good. And also, we have to be realistic about the fact that you can't always be with that one child. And so truly, over the years, I've heard so many skilled ways that coaches have supported educators and providers in that transition of, yep, I'm going to be right over here. I can still see you, those kind of things, providing something for the child to hold while they're waiting, or all of that. It's part of the whole process of a child getting acclimated to group care, which that's what we do. We help support that so that quality always comes through.
Mm-hmm. What I hear you talking about is routines. It goes back, which is what JC is going to dive into next. So cue up JC on routines and environment. But for example, that family child care person who she's trying to get breakfast on the table. He or she is trying to set up the table. And then I know that little JC is going to be here at, 7:45. So part of my scheduling routine may be allowing time for that so that I can have a few moments with that child to calm and soothe and comfort so that we can move then into the next part of our routine or schedule, which might be breakfast. So, but I'll let JC talk a little bit more about routines and attachment.
Yeah. So before I dive into that, I wanted to say, I think something I remember from coaching that I spent a lot of time with providers is in the attachment piece is that sometimes you can be working on attachment and building a relationship in moments that are hard too.
Yes.
So you gave that example of like a crying infant. You are building attachment when you might not be able to hold them because you're preparing lunch, but you are saying to them, it's okay, I'm right here. That's, you're still working at building that attachment. Or I think of a toddler who is really upset and crying on the floor and doesn't want you to touch them. You being near them and just being like, I'm right here. I'm ready when you are. Do you want me to rub your back? That's a form of attachment. It doesn't feel like it in the moment because it's so hard.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's just, it's a tough thing in the field to do, but so important, and takes that intentional part on the work of the adult too.
Yes. And I'm glad you brought that up, JC, because that the awareness that we can have as the adult in that situation, that this child's behavior is not annoying. It's them seeking connection in the only way they know how. So they might be using crying. They might be using pulling on your pant leg. They might be walking around the room, just kind of using a whiny voice, but they're seeking connection. And so anything that you can do to provide that, even in those hard times, is so important. So I'm glad you guys brought that up, because I do think sometimes we jump to the, this behavior, it's so annoying.
Yeah.
So hard. And really, we, especially with infants and toddlers, mm-hmm. that's their way of communicating everything.
Yeah.
They often don't have words or even ways to explain it. So yeah, that's really important.
Yeah. So routines, environment is another important component. And we put these two together. They're very huge, but environment goes along a lot with safety. We think of the environment. When I think of the environment, I think of just walking into a home, a family child care, or walking into a classroom. And how does it feel to be there as you look around? We think through that as adults, and then applying that to a child. What might it feel like to be a child walking into my home or walking into this classroom? So sitting down at their level, is it visually appealing for them? We talked a little bit in safety about what's accessible to the child, and do they have access to toys, age-appropriate toys? Another big thing with environment is just that overall feel of what is the temperature of the room? What is the lighting like? There's a lot of sensory things that come into play there. And we all have a different threshold of where we'd like to be at when it comes to like lighting or scents or stuff like that.
As adults, even JC, that happens.
Yeah. Sometimes children need different things at different points of the day. And so, we have to change our environment up. Just think about nap time. We dim the lights and we turn on the calm music. And what are we telling the children? We do that. We're preparing their bodies for rest. Like, this is coming. And that's part of a routine too. I think a lot of times people think of routines with infants and toddlers as being challenging. And it is, I think, you have to think of routines almost in little smaller chunks, like especially with infants. We're meeting their needs. When are they hungry? They need a diaper change. They're going to let us know. We'll know when they need a diaper change. We'll know when they're tired. They're giving us those cues, and it's not on a set schedule yet, as it shouldn't be. But within that, what does your diapering routine look like for an infant? So, you know, saying, okay, I'm going to change your diaper, and you pick them up and they go to the same diaper changing table with the same pictures. You sing the same song, you wash their hands in the same way. So within that, they're learning, okay, this is what I can expect when I get my diaper changed. This is the process here.
I've got a story for you on that, JC. You've got me smiling and giggling, because my grandson, Elijah, when he was, I want to say two, I have this habit that I formed from teaching for so many years, where I like to sing and talk out loud. And so when I go down the stairs, I sing the song, you know, 1, 2, buckle my shoe, 3, 4, and I go on and on. all the way down the stairs. And my intention for that was I was teaching the children as I'm holding their hand to take a step, walk down the stairs, take a step. And so that I was singing the song, teaching them not to like run, you know, and how to walk downstairs safely. Well, at one point, I'm walking down, even if I wasn't holding the grandson's hand, I was walking down just singing the song because it was habit. And I was like, 1, 2, and I got all the way to like, I got to 9, 10, and my grandson, who couldn't even count yet, was like, 9, 10, we do it again. And I was like, yay!
That routine was cemented.
Yeah, so look at all the learning that happened. Yes, the counting, the language skills, the singing. There's so much learning that was happening in that routine.
In that routine.
Yeah. Yep. Nice. Yeah, that's a good story.
I think from a coaching perspective too, a lot of times it's a little easier to have an outside perspective on routines. It's a little easier for a coach to come in and be able to identify, I think this part of the day feels a little clunky, or I noticed your transition from the snack table to trying to go to the bathroom with the kids was not smooth. And so what can we do to help that specific routine during the day? And sometimes our coaches will notice like there's a lot of transitions here. And so then we look at their schedule and their routine as a whole. I'm thinking more toddler room where you don't need to be strict and have from 10 to 10:20, we do group time. That's way too long of a group time. And it's more about the order of things. So we do group time and then we have free play. And this is how they know it's time to clean up from free play, because we sing this song. So kind of rethinking, what does it mean to have a routine?
Like planning for going outside and allowing a few extra minutes for that preparation. That is part of the experience. And we know how hard it is to get toddlers outside, especially in the wintertime when we have to put the gear on. So, you know, thinking about it as not as a task, but as part of the routine, we're going to start 10 minutes early, especially for some of the ones that we know from our individualization, which we're going to talk about later. Thinking about that with routines.
Yeah. I think when you hone in on a routine like that too, Brenda, like getting children ready to go outside, when you focus in on that routine, it helps to remind you of what you're doing as an educator and how important that work is. You're not just trying to, well, you are, you're trying to get outside and you're also teaching that child, well, how do I put on my glove myself? Or I can do my snow pants myself, but I still need help pulling the zipper up. So there's so much going on within those little moments.
Absolutely. Well, I'm excited about all that we were able to share in this episode. And I look forward, because we are going to do a part two with you two as well to look at some of those other areas. And it's just been great to chat together and hear more about the inner workings of how CICC can support educators. And so if you want more information about our coaching, all you have to go to is info@inclusivechildcare.org. And we will get you set up with an intake specialist and get some information from you. And we can come out and coach in your setting for free, funded by the Department of Children, Youth, and Families. So I look forward to hearing more from JC and Brenda. We'll talk soon.
For more information and a wide range of resources, visit inclusivechildcare.org. You'll find information on our coaching services and support on topics such as healthy child development, strategies for encouraging positive behavior, and guidance on including children with unique social, emotional, and learning needs, and much more.